When I'm driving and I'm stopped at a red light, I sometimes like to read the bumper stickers on the cars in front of me because some can be kind of entertaining. For all of you out there who are Star Trek fans, I remember a while ago seeing a bumper sticker that said, "Beam me up, Scotty, dot, dot, dot. There's no intelligent life down here." I also remember seeing a bumper sticker a while ago that ties in with the gospel today, in the sense that this bumper sticker expressed the very opposite of what our readings are talking about. And the bumper sticker I saw, it said, "I thought I made a mistake once, dot, 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 but I was wrong." Now, that clearly expresses a sentiment that is definitely not humble. You know, if somebody always has to be right, if they can never admit making a mistake, if they can never apologize, if things always have to be done their way, they boast about how good they are at doing things, they always have to have the last word, these are signs of pride, an unhealthy pride. And pride of that nature becomes an obstacle to having a close relationship with God. Today in the first reading of the gospel tell us that it is to the humble that God inclines himself. It is to the humble that he gives grace. It's to the humble that he reveals the secrets, the depths of his heart. And it's to the humble that God lifts up and exalts. So, what does it mean to be humble? Does it mean we have to deny our abilities and our accomplishments? Does it mean we have to be kind of mediocre in everything we do? Does it mean we have to go around with our head bowed down, timid, shy, wimpy? No, that's not what humility means at all in the sense of the scriptures. Humility actually has many different expressions and many different levels. But one of the fundamental meanings of humility is simply that we allow ourselves to be gifted by God each day in everything we do. A humble person is someone who sees that everything in his life and life itself is a gift from God. And a humble person allows God to give him the gifts that God wants to give to him and to use them in the way that God desires them to be used. So a humble person has this attitude that everything is gift. And we need to have this humble attitude, even if we want to get off the ground to the very first level in our relationship with God. We need to be humble to even begin to accept the gospel message and even begin a friendship with God. So to help us appreciate this point a little bit more, I'd like to just share with you a conversion story I heard last week of someone by the name of Jonathan Kahn. Now, Jonathan Kahn is a senior pastor and a messianic rabbi at the Jerusalem Center in the United States. He broadcasts on hundreds of radio stations and TV stations around the world. He's a biblical scholar, and four of his books are on the New York Times bestseller list. And so Jonathan Kahn shared his conversion story, and he said that he grew up Jewish. He went to a Hebrew school. He learned the Jewish faith. But he said that when he was about 8 years old, he began to question his Jewish faith because he said he noticed a real disconnect. He learned how, on the one hand, in the Old Testament, God spoke to and acted in the lives of people, how the Spirit of God came down upon the prophets, how God moved people and made a real difference in their lives for good. But he said he didn't see that in his family, and he didn't see that in the synagogue they attended. So he said at the age of 8, he decided to become an atheist. He argued with people in the school who were religious, and he became known as the atheistic kid. But as he got older, he began to lose confidence in his atheism, because he began to realize that everything in the world, everything in nature, has a cause. So if there is this thing we called existence, there must be a cause for it. existence just doesn't happen by itself. So then he began to read all kinds of books on religion and science, philosophy, even UFOs. And he said one day he picked up a book which he thought was a book on UFOs, but it turned out to be a book on Bible prophecy. And as he was reading the book, he was just amazed at how many Bible prophecies in the Old Testament have come true and are coming true. And he began to realize that no person, even with our supercomputers, we have no ability to accurately predict the future, what will happen in years down the road. But here were simple shepherds, tiller of trees, without any kind of knowledge of computers, and others whose prophecies about the future were fulfilled hundreds and thousands of years before they happened. So he went back home and dug up his Hebrew Bible and started looking more carefully into the prophecies in the Hebrew Bible regarding the Messiah. And he said he saw that in Micah 5, the prophet said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. In Zechariah 9, that the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem seated on a donkey, an animal of peace. In Isaiah 53, he read how the Messiah would be wounded, crushed, rejected, and die for our sins. He read the prophet Daniel, who lived more than 500 years before Christ, and he predicted the exact time in history when the Messiah would be born. And they he predicted that the Messiah, that after the Messiah died, once the Messiah had arrived and already died, that then the temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed. And the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. He also read in the Hebrew Bible how the Messiah would become a light to the Gentiles, which Jesus did fulfill. And in Isaiah 53, how the Jews, most Jews, would reject the Messiah, which they did. So those are just some of many, many prophecies in the Old Testament about the Messiah. And Jonathan Cahn said he realized that Jesus is the only one in history who fulfilled those prophecies in the Hebrew Scriptures. There's no number two. There's no runner-up. There's no other candidate. So he reached a point where he said he just couldn't argue with the facts anymore. The evidence was that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah and the Savior of the world. So he said he began to believe this in his head, but he did not want to surrender and follow Jesus with his life. He was still a teenager. He loved being a teenager and doing all the things that teenagers did. He had his own rock band. And he didn't want to give all that up and join a monastery, so he thought. But he knew that he couldn't just say in his head, I believe Jesus is Messiah and Lord, but I'm not going to follow him with my life. He knew he couldn't do that. He knew the Messiah was coming back, and he had to make a decision. He had to either say yes or no to him with his life. And so he did what every good Jew does. He made a deal. He said, God, if you give me a long life, I will accept you as my Messiah on my deathbed. Well, right after that, he got into a very serious accident. He said he was driving his Ford Pinto, and he was heading towards railroad tracks in the dark. And as he approached, the railroad lights started flashing. But then he noticed that the cars on the other side were continuing to cross anyway. So he thought, well, maybe those lights are just malfunctioning. So he slowed down, and he approached things slowly to check things out. And he said it was very dark. There were no other lights around. There were no gates on the track, no protection. In fact, he said he couldn't even see where the tracks were because the road was very bumpy and rough. So he stopped and waited and he did notice the approach of a train from just behind him on the left. And he said he did not realize that the tracks were crossing the road on an angle and that he was actually sitting right on top of the tracks. And he didn't know that. And so the train smashed into his Pinto, which he said crumpled like tinfoil and was tossed up in the air. And he said all he could do at that moment when he realized what was happening was to call out to God to save him. And the car was completely destroyed. The accident made it into the news and the headlines all over the county there. And Jonathan said he walked away without a single scratch. Nothing. Nothing had happened to him. So he knew that God was taking his prayers seriously. So he decided to make another deal with him. He said, okay, I will accept you when I'm 20 years old, and please let me live until then. So when he turned 20, he said he kept his word to God. And he didn't know how to give his life to God, but he remembered in Hebrew school how God met Moses on a mountain, how God met Elijah on a mountain. So he said he found the closest thing in his area to a mountain, and he climbed up to the top. And then he kneeled on a rock, and he just prayed and said, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior and Lord. I give my life to you. Forgive me my sins, and help me to follow you faithfully in my life. And he said, afterwards, he says, he does not know why he waited. He does not know why he fought that for so long. It was his greatest moment of joy. It was the greatest, he's now 59 years old, and he said it was in his life his greatest joy, the greatest thing, the greatest everything in his life that had ever happened. And to me, it seems like the reason he did not want to surrender his life to Christ was because of pride. He did not want to let go of control in his life. He wanted to call all the shots. He wanted to live life on his own terms, not God's term. And so that is a huge obstacle and prevents people from coming to God. But once he became humble in his heart, once he was willing to accept the gift of life on God's terms, willing to let go of control, willing to embrace God's will for his life, only then could he enter into this personal friendship with God. And I really like what Jonathan Cahn said at the end of his interview. He said, how long do we have to get things right with God? He said, one heartbeat. He said, only one heartbeat separates us from eternity. We have very limited amount of heartbeats, and we don't know when the last one will be. God gave us these heartbeats so that we could choose him. And when our last heartbeat strikes, we enter into eternity, and we can no longer change our mind. Our choices are fixed for eternity. So now is the time to choose Christ with our lives and to choose to live as he taught, because tomorrow is never guaranteed. And so Scripture describes the Blessed Virgin Mary as the humble handmaid of the Lord. That has to be our attitude as well, a humble servant of God. It takes a humble heart to accept Christ and his gospel, to accept this gift of Christ that God wants to give to us. It takes a humble heart then to grow in our relationship with God and to see each day as a gift from God and simply to say, God, what do you wish to accomplish in me and through me today? What kind of day do you wish to give me? What tasks do you want me to fulfill? What challenges do you wish me to face today and go through them with you? Let your will be done at every moment in my life today. Only give me the grace to respond with trust, love, and faithfulness with which your Blessed Mother always responded to you. If we have that attitude and go into each day with that kind of a humble attitude, then God, as Scripture says, will be able to lift us up and share with us the secrets and the depths of his heart.